You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello, welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is the 14th of March, 2024. And I want to talk again about something that I have substantial expertise in. And that is the war in Ukraine relative to both Russia and European politics. I mentioned a while ago, it was on February 26th, the Chancellor in Germany, Olaf Scholz, rejected the idea of sending these Taurus cruise missiles to Ukraine. They have a range of about 300 miles. And thanks to Andrei Korbyakov, who's put out an excellent piece on it, and when he was talking about this, he inadvertently pointed to Britain and France as already having men on the ground, since the Ukrainians have absolutely no expertise in any of this stuff. And the equipment that they're sent is usually destroyed right away. And despite the fact that this really doesn't matter, the last German poll a couple weeks ago, 61% of the German population are opposed to sending Taurus or any other kind of missile to Ukraine, and more than 80% are against sending troops from anywhere. And so that very same day, Emmanuel Macron said that NATO troops may be needed. Remember, this wasn't even conceived of during the Cold War. These are two completely different conflicts. You know, there's no anti-war movement. There's no anti-nuke movement. Of course, that was the opposite was the case, you know, 50 years ago. And of course, Putin gave out the only possible response, that you're risking global war here, which didn't need to be said since they're well aware of this. And again, not that he matters, but Lloyd Austin said that if Ukraine falls, he doesn't define what that means, Russia will have to be fought directly by NATO. And some of you may have heard, and this is reported in Russia Today, that Russian spies released a transcript of a 40-minute audio clip by German commanders discussing using these Taurus missiles to commit acts of terrorism, specifically to blow up the Kerch Bridge, that critical supply line from mainland Russia to Crimea. Civilians would be the only ones harmed by this. They also mention using British soldiers that are already present in the country, again, to actually work some of this equipment. And by the Taurus, I'm talking about the KEPD 350, which is a German, that's actually produced by Saab in Germany, and it uses stealth technology to hit specifically hardened targets, again, with about a 300-mile range. So Macron stupidly says to anyone who doesn't want to send troops that you are cowards. And so he's actively recruiting Poland, the Baltic states, to join France and Britain. The war has long since been lost, and I'm not sure what their red line is. The Polish foreign minister, Bronislaw Sikorski, said that we will use asymmetrical warfare against Russia. And it's not unthinkable that NATO forces will be sent there. So David Cameron, Annalena Baerbock, Barbara Bach in Germany were urging Berlin to send these missiles. And believe it or not, in good Orwellian fashion, because it's the only way to peace, Baerbock, despite being an appointee of the present chancellor, felt confident enough to reject his position in public. In fact, to send anything possible they can to assist the Ukrainians, without a very clear reason why. It's just a mantra that they continue to repeat. So this is an American-funded movement within this coalition government ruling Germany. Marie Agnes Strack-Zimmermann, take a guess. First of all, I don't know why a woman is talking about this, since they don't have to do any of the work. But this is an American-funded faction, and she's one of the leaders, saying that this only pleases Putin. And she wants to bring the issue to vote after vote until she gets what she wants. The former defense minister, Ben Wallace of Britain, attacked Schultz for his rejection. Again, what the cause for this would be isn't mentioned, you know, the so-called red line, but it has no purpose other than to continue the depopulation of Ukraine. And Schultz actually cited the Russian victory in destroying pretty much anything that gets sent over there, besides the fact that there's no fuel and little ammunition. And he mentions the Leopard tanks that were destroyed immediately. And you have rookie crews there, or no crews at all. So I don't like the World War III rhetoric. Everyone and their mother tries to gain attention by mentioning it. But you have two fronts, Europe and the Middle East. You know, Israel, Ukraine, US, UK. And one gets on the front page when the other one gets boring, and vice versa. Now, Kubiaka says what we all know, that roughly 100% of the global population is against war, and certainly against world war. But this kind of brinksmanship and destruction, which would have been inconceivable against the Soviet Union, is in fact subsidized today. It shows you how diametrically opposed Russia and the Soviet Union really were. Now, I don't think there's really going to be any kind of a pushback unless the draft is instituted. But any politician going along with this is essentially going to be is giving a blood sacrifice, sending boys to be killed in a war that's long lost for no clear or obvious reason. Of course, we also mentioned that the House of Representatives refused to pass that $60 billion Ukraine aid bill, since it refused to address border security. In other words, they'd be in favor of it, so long as that was taken care of. So because the U.S. has stalled in that respect, NATO is picking up the slack. Now, a few days ago, I think it was March 8th, Peter Pavel in Czechia said that they are sending 800,000 artillery shells to Ukraine, and 18 countries are going to be contributing, allegedly, largely admitting, of course, that there's a massive ammunition shortage. Now, Russia, who has the entire country under surveillance, how this is even going to get where it's supposed to go, or if Ukraine has the pieces that haven't been totally worn by now, or functioning crews, all that's irrelevant. This is a symbolic idea. Pavel urged everyone, this is the 9th of March, to send non-combat units for the sake of training, which of course has long since been done, but to come out in favor of it, possibly as a way to introduce actual ground combat men later on. That's a different story. And that's really his purpose. He's making it formal, and the point being, you know, it's a slippery slope from there. So essentially, these are puppet rulers. NATO, the EU, the US. It doesn't matter what party they're in. They want to fast track Ukraine into NATO, which doesn't make any sense because they can't pass any standard. But you did have Mike Lee, a senator from Utah, saying if Ukraine is in NATO, the U.S. should be out, plain and simple. We must draw a red line with them. You can have Ukraine or the United States, of course, but not both. I mean, you do have the neocons here who want all-out war, no matter what the cost. But as I've been saying for a very long time, the more obvious the defeat becomes, even filtered through the tightly embedded media, you'll see more extreme proposals from the regime and their supporters. Now, there are exceptions to this, like Viktor Orban, Robert Fico. But, of course, everyone knows, no matter what is done, victory is impossible. I'm not making a prediction here, but I don't think combat soldiers will be used because it would expose the weakness of NATO and the American infantry going up against battle-hardened Russians in huge numbers. U.S. has never gone up against a regular army since World War II, and regular army of any substance. Iraq doesn't count because most of the commanders have been bribed by that point to not fight. And of course, I also mentioned the Victoria Nuland resignation. And since then, people have been talking a lot about the reason why, and it's essentially a form of punishment. So, as I've been saying for 2 years, there is no chance for Ukraine here. Whether or not Russia is going to take Kiev, I don't think that's not part of the agenda, but it really depends on what the West ends up doing. So there's no question that there are full plans for intervention in one form or another. And Macron, as I mentioned, is the reason why that's happening. France, the Baltic states, Poland, they seem to want humanitarian assistance, like, blowing up mines, training. But the rest supports Germany's stance that it really shouldn't happen. If you remember, the inadvertent admission by Scholz was that British and French troops were helping with target control. In other words, teaching them how to shoot things. And of course, the Crimean bridge admission, which again is no surprise to anybody. It is an act of terrorism, and now we just have proof of it all. So the point of having trainers there or demining operators there is hopefully to draw more casualties and to give the Russians pause as far as surging eastward goes. In the worst case scenario, from Kiev's point of view, a government that doesn't represent any Ukrainians almost whatsoever, is that the front line collapses entirely, which it has. The only reason that they've lasted is partially because of Putin's caution, partly because of where the war is being fought in Russian-speaking areas, and of course the Western command and control assistance to Kiev. Now, the point of all of this is that if she ends up intervening, this alliance with the United States will be essentially to contain Russia, serving Washington, especially if Washington pivots somewhere else, like the Middle East or Taiwan. Now, the major component here is something called the military Schengen plan, which initially started off, and it came from NATO. It includes Germany, the Netherlands, and Poland. Now, Schengen is a town in Luxembourg. And that's where, in 1985, the EU leaders met to, at least in the 27 members of it now, to abolish borders entirely in Europe. Not all of the EU members are in it, but most of them are. And it really didn't come into force until 1995. So, a military Schengen plan is to erase all borders in Central Europe for the sake of building an international Western military infrastructure to facilitate movement of troops and material. Because right now, that doesn't exist in Central Europe. The Baltic states and Poland, not only they're in no position to do anything, it's extremely dangerous if they do, especially if, you know, if they have Western support even on the ground and things go badly, if the West pulls out, they'll end up being very vulnerable. And as Korbica says, hung out to dry. And the significance of France, this Macron statement, is that that could then embolden smaller, weaker powers to actually intervene in one manner or another. Of course, they can't complain when their men are killed. Again, inconceivable during the Cold War. It's irritating to me how many people try to use the Cold War trope. There were no sanctions on the USSR, except very briefly under Jimmy Carter. And that was just the invasion of Afghanistan. It also means that Britain, I mean, they're already playing a leading role in this proxy war. Just before the war started, they signed a security pact with Kiev and Warsaw. And that was when the Ukrainian invasion of the East was imminent. And somehow, the movement of German intervention, if Scholz gets overruled, the claim is that then the German-American alliance will dwarf that of Britain and France. Most of these countries have zero combat experience. And again, they're going up against well-trained, motivated, and battle-hardened men. Now, France isn't part of this Schengen plan yet. Of course, the point is just, you know, that may impede the ability of moving large amounts of troops and equipment. Equipment that, frankly, they really don't have anymore. And they also want to bring in Poland, Greece, Bulgaria, Romania. And they usually get their way. There's a Moldovan highway in Romania, which is being built rapidly to create a military coalition, a corridor in the Balkans. And allegedly, this is how France can counter Germany, depending on what happens. You know that the West is fanatically anti-Russian when they bring both Germany and Japan out of their previous non-militarist constitutions. Again, inconceivable during the Cold War. So that corridor from southeastern to northeastern, I should say from Greece to Ukraine, is, again, another logistical route. Now, the farmers' protests in Poland kind of drop them out of this. And this also means that both France and the UK can increase their influence along this route. So there's no doubt that the Schengen plan, the military version, will have to connect Romania, Bulgaria, Greece, and they will then be able to dispatch instructors. So he also mentions, if there is a French-British intervention, formally, that might itself make Germany look bad in the eyes of the regime, not their own population. Given what the generals have been recorded as saying, they're talking about destroying civilian targets. That's exactly what that bridge would be. It's an act of terrorism. In the normal traditional sense of the word. These defense ministers have no military experience, and their armies are small because the U.S. was doing everything. And few European countries have, other than elite units, have the forces for anything large scale. You know, initially, I spoke of the growing alliance between Russia and Germany prior to the war. as Germany is being deindustrialized. But now the opposite is the case. And it shows you the level of desperation. A country that's heading to third world status, like Germany, is far more concerned with Russia that not only does not threaten them, but that their millionaires made huge profits in. This is, you know, so anyway, whether or not this will affect Germany is another matter. I can't picture direct combat forces, trainers, deminers. Okay. You know, I could picture that. It's already going on, although I don't see the benefit in making it formal, especially if these guys get killed. They immediately become combatants. And I have the feeling, as far as Poland is concerned, they're being viewed as cannon fodder, as Ukrainians are. So if Germany balks at all of this, Europe and NATO are going to be in serious trouble. I should say the EU and NATO are going to be in serious trouble. I can't see any formal intervention, whether it be French, British, or German, ever being successful this late in the war. But if Britain and France at least make it public and they still lose, Germany is going to look great, not weak. Again, this is in the eyes of the regime, not in the eyes of voters, because as I've already mentioned, voters don't matter. And that is perfectly consistent with liberal democracy. All of this is, by the way, despite very few actually wanting war here and being surrounded by the deindustrialization of these countries of Northern Europe. There's no question about it. So there's a new form of EU centralization. Remember, the Schengen plan was not American. It came from NATO directly, although it may have been hatched there. But as of right now, it remains to be seen what the West position will be, or if it ever becomes a unified one. France and the UK talking about intervention without German support isolates Germany, and whatever implications of that, it could be good or bad depending on what happens. Exposing their men to casualties and incompetence, I've been talking about this on Patreon for years, is one of the reasons that I think they're very much against actual combat unit shooting. So, of course, you know, Russia sees this as an obvious threat. It's an invasion plan, this military infrastructure, the Schengen plan that they're talking about, which makes Belarus, Kaliningrad especially, very vulnerable. On the other hand, at least according to Kobieka, Russia isn't too worried about German imposition. I mean, Poland has been a colony of Germany for some time, but they're reasserting themselves given the war, even more so over Poland. The German newspaper Bild got their hands on classified documents talking about a German plan for war, starting in, well, last month and stretching into May of 2025. And the point there is to destabilize the Baltic states using the Silwaukee Corridor, which is a path from Lithuania to Poland that sidesteps the Russian possession of Kaliningrad. And of course, going on the offensive against Ukraine. And the author here was the logistics head, General Alexander Solfrank from NATO, who came up with this massive, you know, new infrastructure project, despite the fact that all the EU is so deep in debt, they can't afford any of this. The closest that Germany has come is the formation of a tank brigade in Lithuania. And the German-backed liberal, totally, you know, illegitimate president, Donald Tusk, trying to get him involved this way. You had a de facto liberal coup d'etat against their opposition that had ruled the country for a long time, so-called conservative nationalists. But Tusk, being a pure internationalist, tried to appeal to patriots for this ridiculous intervention, Ukraine being a distraction. So it's redirecting people's attention from domestic affairs. So this new military zone, borderless military zone, if it entrenches the current liberal government in Poland, it will then force them to rely on Germany. And because he has so much opposition, the military and the police forces, he's going to have to purge them. As you know, it's been done in America many times. Intelligence, armed forces, police. And his opposition is informally called the New Solidarity Movement. And of course, that's where the comparison will end. So, the liberals return to power in Poland, if he follows Berlin, may benefit Russia. If Scholz's faction continues to fight against intervention and seeking even a ceasefire in Ukraine, lifting sanctions, whatever they have to do. So in the strategic sense, that is much better for Russia. Now, allegedly, the opposition, of course, the liberals are always in favor of intervention, but depending to the extent that they're under Germany, they may not. Conservatives are sometimes in favor of it. You know, so liberals in Poland want German rule, which would enforce liberalism. Conservative opposition wants American rule, which will also enforce liberalism. But Germany's reimposition over Poland is largely been de facto for a very long time. And with this new war zone idea, Poland is then placed immediately in the crosshairs. And it was really the leak from Bild about German war plans, once made public, that this military Schengen plan developed. Tusk has no right to rule Poland. He is a complete leftist in every respect. He's a liberal who wants to use Germany to help him purge the country. Since, you know, conservatives have done very, very well there since independence from the Warsaw Pact. But Moscow opposes this, except to the extent that Germany take control over Poland in a formal way rather than in a de facto way. So either Poland slides further under German control, essentially a puppet state, economically and otherwise, and hence purged, have leftist ideology imposed on them, or Tusk will lose and they'll regain some sense of national sovereignty. The Prime Minister, Donald Tusk, as I mentioned, who took over, plunged this country, Poland, into a complete political crisis. Less than a month since returning to power. So when he talks about subordinating Polish sovereignty to Germany, he also means German-controlled European institutions. And the former, the ruling party, prior to this, Jarosław Kaczynski, who was the chairman of the former ruling party, did warn that this is exactly what's going to happen. But this has nothing to do with, you know, the EU, this migration pact, bringing in these hostile migrants under pain of financial punishment. But of course, Tusk also took over all national media, just like Zelensky, just like the corporate takeover in the US. The purge, really, with Tusk has already begun in Poland. Two former ministers were arrested inside the presidential palace who had been pardoned by the current president, Andrzej Duda, allegedly for entrapping somebody. They were pardoned immediately, but then, you know, under pressure, Polish Supreme Court reopened their case and then convicted them in a kangaroo trial. So this is what they have in store for Poland. Tusk even wants Duda arrested, the president, because of his pardon, accusing him of obstructing justice. So there has been the protest of free Poles. Kaczynski has helped organize. And whether or not Tusk will declare martial law is another matter. But when he does, or if he does, he will be fully supported by the West. And they're promising, you know, strikes and protests. which they certainly have every right to do, that itself may connect them to the old Solidarity, but that's where the comparison ends. They will be arrested en masse. They'll be violently assaulted with full regime support, depending on how far they can go. Tusk is unpopular. He will, in backing the EU, he will crack down on everything because he's well aware that conservatism and nationalism are extremely important in Poland. Whether or not the party represents it is another matter. But the damage that can be done by coming under German control, while it may keep them out of war, it does make them extremely vulnerable. And Kobieca says, if this new Solidarity loses, Polish society will be irreversibly transformed. I mean, Tusk wants endless illegal immigration, all restrictions removed on abortion, gay propaganda, easy divorce. There would be no recovery after that, since it would be enforced via the Schengen plan with by the German military, with the full support of the West. So the ideological dominance over Poland is just continuing either way. I mentioned the Boris Pistorius, the German defense minister who has zero military experience. I think last month or the month before, created a tank brigade in Lithuania, very close to the border, fully deployed in 2027. So Pistorius is quoted as saying, we need a Bundeswehr that can defend itself and wage war in order to defend our security and our freedom. You know, Olaf Scholz talked about this in his manifesto 2 years ago. And again, that's the context of the so-called Schengen idea. Now, the tank brigade has been around for a while. It's been discussed for a long time. And it is not in Ukraine. But this plan, this new military infrastructure plan, is being interpreted by Poles as just a German power play here. And the only reason that it could ever succeed is if they keep Tusk in power as a complete liberal proxy, tightly controlled by the left. In fact, Jarosław Kaczynski, the conservative opposition leader, accused him of being a German agent. And keep in mind, too, that under Tusk, no alternative point of view will be permitted in the media. In fact, the tank brigade then wasn't given the green light until he took over last year. So they had to wait until Tusk was able to take over the government of Poland before they announced this and a new phase of the war on Russia without any clear reason or purpose. So you have an intense vote coming up. The last election that brought Tusk in was extremely tense, and it's getting more tense as time goes on. But Schengen plan only when Tusk took over. And the German military doctrine paper was published right before that. So clearly it's time for the Polish elections, generally speaking, rigged in favor of Tusk. So Germany now doesn't have to hide anything. I think he's being generous by saying somehow this could serve Russia, but the Schengen plan is a war against it. And of course, resistance, this also goes with, you know, the anti-Russian militarist stuff is connected to mass migration and abortion and all this stuff. And they will, with American support, totally, and German support, and EU support, purge the entire country, especially security services. And the hope right now is that the president, who has limited powers in the Polish constitution, Andrzej Duda, there's not presidential elections until 2025, but he can clash enough with Tusk so that the left doesn't completely take over. Because like everywhere else, they want to shed blood. They need mass purges. They need anything but what most people think democracy is. So these go way beyond the Ukraine war. It's to militarize Central Europe, to one day invade the Russian Federation. And certainly that's what it sounds like. Unfortunately for Northern Europeans, including Poles, no free media is possible. Tusk, the first thing he did was take over the newspapers and the state media. Of course, that's not mentioned anywhere. So whether or not all of this comes to pass, or even if there's the money available for any of this, or the manpower or the political will, that remains to be seen. But the regime, unlike the Cold War, is fully at war with the Russian Federation, as I've been saying for the last 20 years. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.